WRHI Rock Hill. W261CY Rock Hill. Good Pharmacy. Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 60 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today a fellow I've never had across the Straight Talk table before. His name is Dr. Stephen Marks. He just happens to be the dean, a professor, a veterinarian, and everything, but he's running the brand new Clemson Veterinary College, which is in the process of being made, and he gets a clean sheet of paper to build this thing, which I think is absolutely fascinating. And we're going to talk about that today on our Straight Talk program. So, Doc, thanks for being here and traveling down from Clemson.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we need to know a little bit about you. Tell us some background of you.
Well, some of this is good. Some of this is not so good. So I grew up in New Jersey.
That's all right.
That's a well-kept secret. And we've kind of bounced around the country in training. So I am a veterinarian. I've been a veterinarian for over 35 years. Most of my career was spent at NC State at the College of Veterinary Medicine there for the last 18 years. And then my wife and I, who's also a veterinarian, we've been in Clemson for almost 2 years.
So what do two veterinarians talk about at night?
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation. Yeah, you don't want to be eating while we're talking.
So how did you land this gig? I mean, this is fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity. We were very happy at NC State. I was an associate dean there. Some of this had to do with our son. He's a graduate of Clemson University. He was a soccer player there. And when this opportunity came up, we feel like Clemson made a big difference in our family. When you see a university through the lens of a parent, it's a little bit different than just a job opportunity. And then so me combining my love of people, my love of Clemson, my love of animals, this was the perfect opportunity.
And that's something.
Yeah, very lucky.
So we need to go back a few steps because it really is an interesting story as to how all this really came about. And this is, what, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that?
It probably started even longer. I mean, there's been an attempt to have a College of Veterinary Medicine in South Carolina for a long time.
Long time.
So it started, it failed, it started, it failed, and finally the stars aligned.
Stars aligned. And but how they aligned is the interesting part of the story. Because we know we have a big-time rivalry in South Carolina.
Yes.
Between this other school called the University of South Carolina and Clemson University.
Yes.
All right? And USC needed to have some stuff done for its medical school to expand. I've forgotten what it all was about. And at the same time they were making noise about that, Clemson is saying, hey, what about this veterinarian school that we need? And make a long story short, if you're going to do one for one, you got to do for the other. Is that about right?
I think that's right. Most of that predates me, so I was fortunate to come in after that decision was made. But Clemson is the land grant in the state, at least one of the land grants in the state. So because that's a land grant institution, if you look around the country, most of the universities that have colleges of veterinary medicine are the land grant institution.
Which means, for those who don't know what land grant is.
Well, it was a funding that was provided where the incentive was service, research, education.
Right.
So USC is a great university. We hope that we'll get to work with them and draw students from USC to Clemson. So the rivalry is healthy.
Oh, yeah. Particularly in November when
yes.
they play football. So, all right. So the pressing need is we don't have enough vets in South Carolina and probably in the Southeast to take care of what the demand is. Is that about right?
That's true. It's a national problem and probably an international problem, but specifically in South Carolina and the Southeast, especially in some of the underserved areas, some of the rural areas, it's really hard to get veterinary care. So that's one of the goals of Clemson.
All right. So the decision is made, okay, we're going to finally build this veterinarian school at Clemson and do what we're going to do for the University of South Carolina as well. And you're brought into the mix, right?
Yes.
And what do they do? They just give you this blank piece of paper and say, okay, what do you think we should have here?
Well, it's not completely a blank sheet of paper. So there was a footprint for the university plans or the college plans. But the main goal is the College of Veterinary Medicine in the United States, actually in North America, has to be accredited by the American Veterinary Medical Association, Council on Education. So they actually tell us the standards that we have to meet. So it's not just Clemson, and it's not just South Carolina, because there's many, many hoops, right? So you have to get your curriculum through Clemson University. You have to get it through the South Carolina Commission on Higher Education. So there's multiple hoops. And then ultimately, you have to be accredited by your professional accreditation body. So there's a roadmap.
Woo.
And you just can't wing it. Like there's a set path that you have to follow, and then people tell you whether you've met those standards. There's no negotiating.
So you were brought on board when?
So I started, I have to think about this, in August of 23.
August of 23.
So I ended my career at NC State on a Friday. I started my career at Clemson the following Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a big break.
Big break. So since August of 23, you have been doing these various things that need to be done.
Yes.
To get this school open by, what is it, next fall?
So it'll be fall of 26.
Fall of 26. All right, so you have a track for curriculum.
Yes.
You have a track for actually building the campus.
Yes.
And then you have a track for accreditation.
And all those are, so the facilities,
yeah,
the curriculum,
right,
the faculty and the staff that you hire, they all fit into accreditation. So you have to have everything that your accreditation body says, and that includes from stem to stern.
So who figured out how much this is going to cost?
That was done before me.
Before
that
you?
That was between Clemson University. They appointed a steering committee, some veterinarians, some educators, some stakeholders, and that was worked out. And then, of course, the South Carolina General Assembly, many people, including Senator Peeler, who the college is named after,
right,
shepherded this through the process.
And how many millions of dollars is this in round numbers?
Just under $300
million. $300
million.
And you are going to, let's just talk about the construction part of this. You had a piece of dirt there at Clemson University.
A beautiful piece of dirt.
Pardon me, a beautiful piece of dirt. And how big is this beautiful piece of dirt?
We're building on somewhere between, right around 20 to 25 acres.
25 acres. Now, did you know, because you are a veterinarian, what kinds of buildings needed to be there? Or was this really a function of the accreditation part?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, the footprint was somewhat designed by architects, but the function is designed by educators and veterinarians.
So tell me, in layman's terms, what's going to be there on this 25 acres?
So we have a total of 7 buildings. 6 of those will be academic buildings. 5 are on the immediate site. So on the immediate site, which is off West Queen, if you're familiar with Clemson, that's where the Garrison Rodeo Arena is. So it's directly across from the Clemson Equine Center. Okay. So there's the only building that's non-academic there is a utility building. There'll be a teaching building that has labs for surgical instruction, anatomy instruction, a simulator lab in that building. There'll be a large research building. There'll be a large ambulatory building, which is for a truck-based large animal ambulatory service to serve the community. And then the main building is called the Hub. That'll have classrooms, administrative offices. It'll have some food services, a library of some sort. And then across the street, we'll have a separate building. It's called the Equine Teaching Building, and that's on the front pasture of the current Equine Center. And then one remote building, which will be at Lemaster Dairy, and that's the Farm Animal Teaching Building. So altogether, 7 buildings being constructed simultaneously.
Okay. They're all being built at one time?
Yes.
And they have to be all finished before you open this new school up?
That is the plan.
That is the plan.
Yes.
And just out of curiosity, roughly out of the $300 million, the building is, all these buildings are going to take, what, two-thirds or 75% of it?
Yeah, a significant amount of it. Some of it will be operations, but yeah, it's a big chunk. And as you can imagine right now, prices continue to increase, especially since the money was allocated. So we do a lot of fundraising. So this, it's not a complete package.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so that takes care of the buildings. And as far as the equipment for these buildings, that's all you too?
That's all us as well. So equipment, so the buildings, the equipment, the staff, the faculty, that's all part of this project. It's a large endeavor.
All right, so how many are on your team right now helping you with this large endeavor?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say altogether right now, we probably have 20 as part of our team.
All right.
In July, we'll start onboarding some more faculty. So typically, if you have a college or a university, you have an open position and you fill that open position. We have a clean slate. So, and I can't hire everybody I need for 4 years on day one because I don't need them all.
Sure.
So right now we're focusing on the first year, and then sometime during the first year we'll start hiring for the second year, and the
gotcha.
Same for the third year,
gotcha.
And then the fourth year.
So ultimately, once you have a graduating class, which would be what, 3 years after 26?
4 years.
4 years. Okay.
So our first class, we'll award our first Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degrees, will be in May of 2030.
2030. So by that time, you would expect you to have what, 100 staff members?
Between faculty and staff, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And we're kind of flying the plane while we're building it in many ways. So it's putting together a puzzle. So we build who we have, we see how we do, which I'm sure we'll do very well. We've hired top talent. And we have a lot of people that want to come to South Carolina, and we have a lot of people that want to come specifically to Clemson. So
well, I bet
we're
you
very
they
fortunate.
Do. I mean, Clemson is known for its excellence in it. Just look at the number of applications they get every year.
Absolutely.
My
this year
God.
Is crazy.
It is nuts.
It is. And veterinary medicine will be no exception, both in-state and out-of-state.
So this is not your first rodeo. You've done this before.
I've done this before. I've done parts of this before. I've never started a College of Veterinary Medicine from scratch.
But what a wonderful opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. I mean, maybe you were the same. When we were growing up, if things didn't go our way in a baseball game or a basketball game, we asked for a do-over. This is the do-over. We get to take all the great things that we've experienced at other universities and other colleges, and we get to take those with us, and then we get to modify some of the things we wanted to see done a little bit differently.
This is interesting. All right, so we've got the buildings being built. We have the equipment that's being purchased. We have the initial staff, and we've got a plan to keep adding to the staff as we keep adding the number of students. And we're going to take our first class in on the fall of 2026.
That's right. So there'll be 80 students.
80 students.
Yes, sir.
Have you already gotten applications?
No. So that's the caveat here. So if anybody asks you if I'm recruiting students,
I'll tell them yes.
I am not.
Oh, I'll tell them yes.
So that'll get us in a lot of trouble. So our accreditation body has to give us what's called a letter of reasonable assurance, and that's based on them inspecting our facilities and evaluating our training programs. We are unlikely to get that letter until October, and that means that the second we get that letter, we start recruiting. So right now it's informational, and everything I tell you is based on accreditation, so it's pending accreditation.
So do these accreditation people, are they kind of walking around the campus now just to see what you're doing and maybe making a suggestion here, a suggestion there?
So there's two processes. One is called a consultative visit. So they came and spent, a team of people came and spent a week with us. They evaluated all our plans and gave us some constructive criticism. And then about 3 weeks ago, they came back for what's called a comprehensive visit. And they just gave us a written report on things that they liked and some minor details that they thought could be improved. But we are very much on track to be accredited.
I don't know anything about accreditation, and I know less about veterinarian schools. But how many times does an accreditation agency get to see a brand new school built from scratch?
I would say for the last several decades, actually for the last century, not very often, but recently, because of the shortage of veterinarians, there's probably between 10 and 15 new colleges of veterinary medicine attempting to open.
All right, so you're going to try to take in 80 students to begin
yes.
with, all right? And by the time the first group graduates in 2030, you're going to have, what, over 300 students?
Yes. So it'd be 4 years of 80 students.
And I gather, based on what you're telling me, that will be no problem in getting applications fill that?
No. There's a huge number of applications, both in-state and out-of-state.
So when we talk about the demand is more than the schools right now can fill.
So that's the reason there's a shortage. That's one of the reasons there's a shortage of veterinarians, is that there's not enough seats for the number of applicants and the need for veterinarians across the country.
So ideally, we could use 10 more of the schools like this across the country.
There's some debate on that, but we could certainly use more.
Now, this school, as you envision it now, as you're building it, could it handle more than 300?
Eventually. I mean, there's no plan to increase the class size, so it'll be 80 per year for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
But our facilities are being designed for 128 students to make us future-proof.
Yeah, because there's nothing at Clemson. It's not growing.
No. And this amount of money that we were fortunate to be given,
uh-huh,
I think that is, I'm not sure there's going to be much to go back and get more. I think we have to be somewhat self-sustaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a whole other thing that we're going to talk about after we take our mid-program break. And to remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now I'm going to show you how smart these people are from Clemson. He's brand new, never done this show, but you know what? He's a smart guy. We make fresh subs and salads here. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and everybody's going to chant it out together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad, Doc. Well done.
If back it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Dr. Stephen Marks. He is the head of Clemson's brand new Veterinary College. I got to get that right. It's formerly known as the Harvey S. Peeler Jr. College of Veterinarian Medicine. And this guy is getting to build it from scratch. I think that's just wonderful. So how important is Harvey Peeler to this whole thing that you're now working in?
So I think Senator Peeler, really, he shepherded the process And I think he, you know, we're very proud to have him as our namesake because he and his family are steeped in agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
So he, I mean, I say I've met some legislators in my, you know, in my career, but I haven't seen too many that, you know, have a cow, picture of a cow on their wall, or they have a cow that they pull around in a campaign parade.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a very special, you know, he's a very special individual to us.
Yeah, he was a special guy who was in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
To make all this happen.
Absolutely.
All right. So here you go. As you point out, you know, you've gotten a generous windfall from the legislature to build this school and get it up and get it running. And I would imagine that after that happens, you're going to be getting some kind of recurring dollars of some level from the state. But it probably is not going to be enough.
There's never enough.
Never enough. So you're already thinking about, how are we going to, you know, get people to support this outside of the state?
Pretty much. I mean, mostly right now in the state, but anybody that has an interest in veterinary medicine and animal health, and there's a little bit of a misperception that veterinary medicine is all about animals. It really, veterinary medicine is about people. So public health relies on one health or one medicine, and veterinarians contribute a great deal to that. I mean, the majority of the infectious diseases we see emerging in our future in the world will probably come from the animal kingdom. So we have lots to do. Right now, our main focus on fundraising is student scholarships. So attracting the top talent within South Carolina and within the United States means it's a competitive market. And we have great veterinary schools in the Southeast. We have the University of Georgia. We have Mississippi State. We have Tennessee. I mean, we have some great veterinary schools. We have NC State. And so there's competition over getting the best students. So the ability to offer a scholarship to a student and reduce their potential debt is huge.
So we know how the costs for an undergraduate degree have gone up.
Yes.
I have no idea what a veterinary, you know, if I was going to go to vet school, that's going to cost me, what would you say?
It's expensive, I would say. It's expensive, and students right now, probably the most reasonable numbers are most veterinary students graduate with over $100,000 of debt after 4 years. And the aspect to remember is this is a professional degree, so the majority of our students will come in with a four-year undergraduate degree. So they're going to, it's just like medical school or dental school, they're going to walk in the door having already some debt related to their initial college degree.
So whatever we can do to try to lower that debt is going to help you attract more.
It's going to make for successful professionals.
Right.
Like the less the debt, the more productive they'll be in the community.
So talk to me about research. Do you see this school at Clemson, the veterinary school at Clemson, getting involved with all kinds of research?
We have to. So again, that's part of the accreditation process. So they evaluate your curriculum, they'll evaluate our clinical services that we provide, but our students must be, and they must be exposed and participate in some type of biomedical research.
So that's something that's instituted by the professors?
It's instituted across the board, but Clemson already has a tremendous track record with research, so we'll integrate with what's there. We don't have to completely, you know, reinvent the wheel. There's a big initiative of One Health that already exists between the College of Science, the College of Engineering, the nursing school. So there's a lot of people already doing this work, and veterinary medicine will walk right into that partnership. So we'll be great partners.
It's amazing, absolutely amazing what's going on at Clemson. I think it's just fantastic. So, you know, we talk about, you mentioned the fact that veterinary medicine is really about people.
It is.
And I look at different parts of the state. I know you probably heard this story that down in Yamasee, which is the southern part of right there at Beaufort County, the edge of Beaufort County. They've got a great big, footprint of monkeys that they're doing all kinds of research with them. And there's some people who really get, you know, horrified by all of that. But the fact of the matter is, if we didn't have animals to test for diseases and cures for diseases, we wouldn't be the species that we are as humans today.
There are some ethical issues that we all face. I think, if animal models can be replaced, I think a lot of people would be in favor of that. But there's a combination of being ethical, compassionate, empathetic when you do animal-based research. That's very important. But anything that you see in human medicine was developed for the most part in animal models.
Okay, so as you point out, there's lots of veterinary schools here in the Southeast, and you'll all be competing at one point for the best students that are out there. So do you see your peers at these other schools calling you and saying, hey, what are you really doing over there? I've heard about this and I've heard about that, and especially at NC State.
Yes, veterinary medicine is a very collaborative profession, and I think the goals across the board are to produce more veterinarians, to make sure that animals and people are cared for. So it's a healthy competition, and there's plenty to go around. Like we said, I mean, if you look at the number of applicants that each school gets, there's lots of very qualified students that are unable to pursue their dreams. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
So we talk about vets. Are most of the vets dog and cat vets, or are most of the vets large animal vets?
I would say right now most veterinary students come to veterinary school trying to be small animal veterinarians to live in an urban area. And one of the goals, specifically at Clemson University, but also other colleges of veterinary medicine, is to put out some agricultural veterinarians that will go to some of the underserved regions of the country, not just South Carolina. So trying to get production animals, so cattle, sheep, poultry, as well as some of the companion animals like equine that are also underserved.
But that gets down to a question of dollars and cents. What a vet can earn as servicing dogs and cats,
sure,
versus being out in a rural part of the state. So how do you deal with that? I mean, what's the model to attract that graduate to go out and do that work?
So I think in small animal, you can be fairly financially self-sustaining.
Right.
Equine probably as well. I think once you get into production animals, it's a little bit harder, but you can do mixed animals. So that's one of the lines that will be promoted. So you can do a little bit of everything. And then we'll have part of our curriculum will be practice and business analytics. So you know how you can make a living and how you can be effective. So veterinary medicine is a career, and it's a healthcare profession, but you still have to be financially solvent.
So part of the curriculum will be teaching business.
It is.
Yeah. I'm thinking about a program that my wife loves to watch, Dr. Pole.
Of course.
And he has everything from ducks and geese to great big Brahma bulls that he's taking care of.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a wizard.
He's a wizard. So what do you want people to understand about what's happening at Clemson right now? For the average person, why they should really, really support this thing and be interested in how it evolves, because this is something brand new.
No, so I think the most important thing is that South Carolina has needed a College of Veterinary Medicine for a long time, and although it is housed at Clemson University, it is the veterinary school, veterinary college for the state of South Carolina. So we will take students from USC, we'll take students from Furman, South Carolina State, you name Winthrop, you name the school. If they have students that can meet the prerequisites to get into veterinary school, then we will have a close look at them. We're looking for excellent students. That's the bottom line. So you're not just supporting Clemson, you're supporting the state of South Carolina, and we'll have students from out of state. So you're supporting people through the service to animals.
Great way to end the program. The half hour flew right by, and I knew it would be. Professor, Dean, Doctor, you got a whole bunch of titles. Stephen Marks, thank you for being with us. Thank you for coming down from Clemson. By the way, there's a Clemson graduate over there who wants to shake your hand because he's a state representative, and you're going to need him in the future. It's Look At Me, Randy Ligon. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Thank you very much. Let me close out the show. Remind everybody that Straight Talk is made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, Doc, watch how well this state representative, your state representative does this. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. Lughead is here. Are you ready now? The count of three. One, two, three.
Slice. Hard.
Have yourself a wonderful day. Go Tigers. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill.